You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. We're doing mailbag today. We're going to hit up with some of your voicemails at the end of the episode. We'd love to hear from you, though. You've got any thoughts on the Bulls' first preseason game? Maybe your thoughts on tonight's game after it concludes against the Milwaukee Bucks? Whatever it is, we'd love to hear from you. 331-979-1369. We're finally back, both of us. Matt Peck is back here after a couple of days off. I know he's probably not in the greatest of moods either after what happened with the Cubs last night. But nonetheless, Matt, it's great to have you back and ready to talk some basketball now that your full focus is there and instead on the Cubs.
Yeah, what's up Jordan, what's up Bulls Nation, glad to be back. Thanks for holding things down for the last couple of days. It was a hectic weekend and then hectic start to this week between Cubs tiebreaker games and a wild card game, and I moved after 4 years in Wrigleyville, saddled up in Logan Square now, but got all the boxes packed into the new place. Love the new place. It's looking great. I'm completely exhausted. My arms and legs feel like jello. It's a fourth floor walk up, so there was a lot of hauling of all sorts of various random crap and heavy furniture. So it was not like sitting on a beach 2 days off from the pod. It was more like, oh dear God, I'm never moving again. This was a giant pain in the ass 2 days off
from
the pod.
Yeah, moving might be the worst thing in the world. And literally on the list, dude, of worst things I would absolutely hate to do is moving.
You never realize how much crap you have until you have to throw it all in a box and then throw all those boxes in a truck and then move it somewhere and then put all of it back in a new location. It was a hectic weekend, a stressful weekend, and then of course to top things off, I mean the Cubs just choked away their playoff run. So whatever, I'm over it. I mean, last night was a nerve-wracking, exciting game. Extra innings in the playoffs, always fun. But whatever. I'm focused on the Bulls now. Bears are 3-1. I'm feeling really good about that. Just go away, Cubs. I'm done with you until at least February.
No, well, at least we got the Bears 3-1 for right now. There's no worries there. And then we've got the Bulls season. The Bulls haven't even tipped off in for one regular season game yet. So some excitement should be shifted towards there. So, you know, welcoming in all of the Cubs fans that maybe will be listening now over the next 2 weeks or so, like getting tapped into the Bulls season and maybe the Bears as well. So we'll welcome in all of those fans. We've been here all summer for those that have been listening.
Yeah.
We've been here all summer long.
Jordan, I got to give you credit for that amazing tweet that you put out last night after the Cubs loss of Benny the Bull just chilling in the hot tub. Like, well, here we are. We've been waiting for you. Everyone who ignored the Bulls all summer, we've been here all along. We're ready to get going. So
let's jump into the first and probably most notable thing since we've talked last, and that is the unfortunate news about Lauri Markkanen. So Lauri Markkanen going to miss 6 to 8 weeks, as we know. Looking at a timetable, I was planning it out yesterday on yesterday's episode and saying, like, even if it took 8 weeks, we're probably looking around Thanksgiving weekend, somewhere around Black Friday, maybe at the very latest, the first week in December. But this is a tough blow, Matt. I know that there's other pieces to be excited about. Maybe there's some silver linings in there as well. But still, the one guy that we thought, you know, had the quietest of summers, but at the same time, the loudest and the most notable difference is the way he looks and how he was prepared this season. And then unfortunately, now going to probably miss the first 20 games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still excited for this Bulls season to start. But a large part of me is dead inside now. Like, I mean, I think there's, you know, there's no doubts that the person I was most excited to watch this season was Markkanen, to see if he could follow up that amazing rookie year. And yeah, I'm intrigued to see what Zach LaVine can do with a fully healthy offseason. And he certainly looks, you know, from the preseason game, like his athleticism and his power and jump is back. And that's great. I'm excited to see what the rookie Wendell will do, but, like, most importantly, I was looking forward to watching year two of the Markkanen show, and it just really sucks, man. This is just another, like, random freak injury that happens to a key piece of the Bulls during training camp. Like, how often does that happen in basketball? You hear about guys, like, football players getting hurt in training camp. But, I mean, come, like, he goes up for a rebound, he gets, like, wedged between a couple of teammates or whatever, and an elbow strain, he's out 6 to 8 weeks. Like, it just sucks, yeah, man. It takes so much energy out of the start of this season.
Third time in the last four seasons where the Bulls have had significant injury in the preseason. Like, remember when Taj Gibson had a flying elbow to Derrick Rose's face? And
yeah, friendly fire on D-Rose.
The Bobby and Nico situation happened last year. And Chris Dunn's injury even...
Also friendly fire, but not so friendly.
And even Chris Dunn's injury, like, happened right at the beginning of the season, like the broken finger.
The dislocated finger,
and
yeah.
And now we've got Markkanen, who... people were asking, like, how does this injury happen to somebody? And it sounded like he got tangled up in practice and shook it off, finished up practice. That's what he said. It was a little bit sore, but didn't think anything of it. But then when he woke up early Friday morning, he was like, it was unbearable pain, and he knew something may be wrong a little bit differently. Thank God, though. Like, so if we have any positive silver lining to this, can we just thank God that it wasn't something worse, where he needed surgery, he was going to miss the entire season, that it is just a sprain to the elbow?
Yeah, I mean, at least it's not a knee, or it's not a badly twist, like it's not a high ankle sprain, or it's not a broken foot, or, you know, an elbow doesn't sound that serious. The thing that does concern me, though, is that it is his shooting arm. So is it going to screw up his pure shooting form that we've come to love about Lauri? And how long will he have to sit there with his elbow and his entire right arm immobilized? And it's probably going to take him a little while to get the form on his shot back. So that's the thing that concerns me, is that when Lauri comes back, and also I'm not so convinced that 6 to 8 weeks is what we should be talking about. I would not be surprised if it's longer than that, because the Bulls know that this kid is so important to the franchise's future. They are not going to risk it. They'll probably reevaluate where he is in 6 to 8 weeks. But, man, if he doesn't play until the back end of December, I would not be surprised. They're going to be so cautious with him. And when he does come back, it's not like, okay, here we go, you're ready to run, you're ready to roll. He's going to be rusty, because he will have not shot a basketball for quite some time. So, yeah, it's only an elbow, thank God, whatever, whatever, but it still really sucks.
Yeah, I was just going to say, even with him coming back, say, on the early side of things, say it's the 8 weeks, and yeah, he does come back, it's probably going to take him, I don't know, a few weeks, at maybe a month most, to try to start to gel with his teammates. Like, I know that they've gotten some work in at the beginning, first 2 weeks before training camp started, but still, like, those guys are going to already be playing 20 to 25 games together. They've got a core. They've got a little bit of a gelling going on, and then sticking Markkanen back in there on top of moving Jabari Parker out of the four to the three, which...
Oh, my God, dude.
I mean, Fred Hoiberg said already that they're going to move Parker instead of keeping him at the three and having him focus on that. They're going to have to move him to the four and at least start him there initially. Like, he's still going to get some run at the three, but still... You plug Markkanen in there, and then you have Jabari having to figure out how to play the three after playing the first 25% of the season at the four, where he's probably better at. I think it's a recipe to be a little bit disappointed, but I don't want to go that far yet.
I mean, like, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation with Jabari and Fred's decision to shift him to the four while Lowry is out as opposed to keeping him at the three. Because, look, yes, Jabari is a one-year experiment with a team option, so if he doesn't work out, they can move on. And everyone's saying, well, you know, they brought in Jabari to see if he can be a three, so play him at the three. Why are you shifting him to the four? My counter to that is, well, yeah, but you need to see him play the three well and see him fit at the three alongside Markkanen at the four. Because Markkanen is your four of the future, and yeah, okay, some minutes in Markkanen's future playing at the five when the Bulls go small ball, I get that, but primarily Markkanen is going to be your four of the future because now you have Wendell as the five of the future. So, I mean, like, to me, it's like, well, so why not play Jabari at the three because you brought him here to play the three? Let the guy build up some confidence. Playing the position he's more well suited to, playing the position that he's shown to be more efficient in his years in Milwaukee, so he gets some confidence in himself. And I also think a big part of it is that Bobby Portis is such a great guy coming off the bench. I'm fine that Fred decided to keep him where he was as a sixth man. I think it makes sense to me. The only problem here is that when the Bulls do get to the point where Markkanen comes back. And Jabari is now asked to, okay, for real this time, you're going to go play a lot of minutes at the three. Jabari will, by that time, have forgotten everything he learned this summer that Fred tried to teach him about playing the three. And
I was just going to say, if you...
Some of Jabari's comments about what he saw from that situation of shifting between those two positions, and also compare it to what Fred said, it is not encouraging. Fred said, yeah, it's going to be tricky. Those positions are very different, and I spent all offseason getting Jabari ready for the three. Now he's got to play the four. It's very different. And Jabari said, yeah, it's basically the same position. So, you know, anything that Jabari learned this offseason about playing the three will go right out the window when he plays the four. And then when Markkanen comes back, it's going to be a disaster.
I think it's deeper than Jabari Parker learning to play the three in 1 year. I think the Bulls are weighing their options here. It's like, do you ruin the value that Bobby Portis could potentially earn himself over the next handful of months? And if you can't come to some type of agreement to sign him to an extension, you want the value to be as high as possible for Bobby Portis. In the handful of sample size that we've seen from his game already, it doesn't really tell us that he can start in the league, that he's comfortable doing that. All of his numbers have told you that the opportunities he's gotten to start haven't looked good, and at any time he goes back to the bench, he lights the world on fire. So maybe it's also the Bulls saying, okay, like, instead of ruining two guys and two things not working out, let's shift Parker to the four for right now. Leave that and leave where Bobby Portis is in terms of value, because we don't know if we're going to sign him to an extension. And if we do need to trade him before the deadline hits in February, then he'll maybe be at the highest possible value there. So I think it goes deeper than just having to figure out whether or not you want to train Jabari Parker to play the three. And if he can do that, I think for right now, you've got to take the lesser of the two evils, the making sure that you don't hit twice on a negative, and at least you can maybe come out with a positive with Portis.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think, you know, they're doing the right thing by leaving Bobby where he is, because he's very comfortable with that role. He's embraced his role as the sixth man. He talked to us about it when he joined us for Locked On Bulls last month, and so don't mess with that. Don't mess with the good thing that is Bobby being a very confident, very capable offensive weapon coming off your bench. And in the meantime, it's like, all right, so your options for Fred are you're shifting Jabari to the four now. Hopefully he starts the season with a good amount of confidence playing that role because he's familiar with it. And then the options at the three is the other part of that question, which is for now, at least in the preseason, it's Justin Holliday getting the start at the wing, as opposed to Denzel, who's nursing an ankle sprain again, which is a concern in itself, or the rookie Chandler Hutchison. And maybe also seeing some, you know, some lineups where, you know, maybe LaVine plays more of the wing and then you got Blakeney in the backcourt, something like that. But to me, I don't think Justin Holliday can do anything to increase his essentially zero trade value by getting thrust into this starting
job.
It's
out the window.
I don't think he's a very good player. I don't think the Bulls are going to be able to do or get anything for him. Like, not even a second rounder, and let's be honest, the Bulls don't use second rounders anyway. So, like, what's the point? To me, I would much rather see those minutes split between Denzel and Chandler Hutchison and, you know, throw some Blakeney in there for smaller lineups, but, like, I just don't see the point of playing Holiday. I really don't.
I'll get to a point about what I thought the starting lineup might look like on the 18th when the Bulls tip off against the 76ers. We'll get into that on the other side of a break here. But just want to remind you guys, you know, we're all looking for a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band. Maybe you're going to head up to the to Milwaukee to see the Bulls take on the Bucks tonight in preseason, check out the new stadium there. Whatever it may be, Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by ticket price and look for the seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving our listeners here at Locked On Bulls an exclusive promo code for new customers, $20 off orders $200 or more, and to save even more money. So if you're going to take a family of four, maybe you got you and a couple buddies want to go up to the Bulls game or see one of these preseason games before they head out on the road on the 18th, whatever it may be, use the promo code Locked On for $20 off $200 or more for any new Vivid Seats customer. Go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, and use that promo code Locked On. Every purchase is backed by 100% buyer guarantee, from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more. Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code Locked On for $20 off $200 or more as a new Vivid Seats customer. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime. Let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Do that right now. Locked On, promo code $20 off $200 or more. Back here on Locked On Bulls. And so, Matt, before we went to break, I wanted to talk to you really quick about, you know, we're talking about lineups, who might play the three in the absence of Markkanen and moving Parker to the four. And I think the one thing I was trying to concern myself more was with who's going to actually get the starter minutes. And, you know, Denzel Valentine is still nursing his rolled ankle, and they said they were going to reevaluate in 1 to 2 weeks. You know, that's not a whole lot of time before the Bulls have to go out there and actually play games that are meaningful. So I feel like the way that things are shaking out now, and maybe we'll get even more of a sample size tonight when we see them up against the Bucks, but the idea that Justin Holliday and Robin Lopez are in that starting lineup when the 18th hits, I think is more probable than anything. And what I was running through with people on the show yesterday is the fact that even though Justin Holliday and Robin Lopez may start, they're not going to get starter minutes. They might play 15 to 18 minutes a night. And just going through the starting five, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Justin Holliday, Jabari Parker, Robin Lopez, I had Justin Holliday and Robin Lopez both only playing 18 minutes a night until Markkanen comes back. Then you can kind of shift things around. The only reason why I don't have Denzel Valentine starting at the three right now is because of that ankle injury. I don't know if he's going to be 100% healthy coming back, and maybe they'll want to nurse that a little bit coming into the season. But that's the thing that I think we should stress more than anything, is it doesn't matter who starts the game. It matters about who's playing starter minutes and ultimately who's closing games.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. You know, for all of the jokes made, you know, at Denzel's expense, we've said on this pod all summer long, we believe in him being a guy who's proven to be a reliable 3-point shooter, probably the best 3-point shooter on this roster last season, and he's confident in his role. I think he's overconfident and talking up his own game and saying, you know, I deserve to be a starter in this league and all that stuff that he, you know, which he doubled down on earlier, you know, earlier this week. But I think I agree with you. Given the Markkanen injury and Jabari shifting to the four, if Denzel did not have a bum ankle again right now, he might be at least on a trial period, getting those starts from Fred as opposed to Justin Holliday. We all know the Bulls and their coaching staff at the front office value Justin Holliday as a veteran leader on the floor and in the locker room, blah, blah, blah. How many times have we said that? It's just like I'm boring myself talking about it. But, I mean, I think that Denzel at least should have gotten a glimpse. I think he's best suited for a role as a bench player. I really do. I think that's his ceiling in the NBA. But it's not like Justin Holliday's all that good either. And it's not like you're going to start Chandler Hutchison, the rookie, at least certainly not to start the season. So I think this is just kind of where Fred is with the options he has. And I agree with you about the point that you made about minutes and starting versus who's closing the games and who's actually getting the majority of the minutes. Hopefully, like if Justin Holliday's playing upwards of 25 minutes a night, I'm gonna kill something. Like there is no point for Justin Holliday to play that many minutes on this roster this season. None whatsoever. He can't increase his trade value. And it's not like there's going to be a difference between increasing his trade value if he's playing 25 plus a night or if he's playing 15 to 20 a night. So I'm with you there. It just really stinks that in addition to the Markkanen elbow, we now have Denzel's ankle to worry about. And let's remind ourselves that this is a guy who's had ankle problems in the past. He's had surgeries in the past. I know we've said 1 to 2 weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if it's longer than that. Just like with Markkanen. Obviously, Markkanen, they're going to be careful. And they'll probably rest him longer than they need to just to be careful. But with Denzel, I'm worried that this ankle is going to linger.
Yeah, we'll have to find out. And like you said, you brought up good points about his knees. He doesn't have the greatest knees in the world either. That dates all the way back to the beginning of his college days. So that'll just be something to monitor. But I think that's the interesting little thing that I don't think a lot of us have been talking about either is like Denzel Valentine yet last year, especially at the last 8 weeks of the season, played well enough to convince some people in the league that he could maybe start on one of these teams. And he said it himself, that he said coming into next year, after this season was over, I felt like I had a good enough year to be a starter on this team next season. And then the Bulls go out and sign Jabari Parker to play that position that he was playing all year last year. He had some quotes, and I read them yesterday, and just said he liked the signing and that he feels like it's whatever's going to be best for the team in order to win will be good for the team. And so, to me, this kind of brings a good competition level for Denzel and Jabari Parker. Maybe not necessarily right at the beginning of the season because Parker's going to slide to the four, and Denzel, if he's healthy, he'll probably be able to fit into that three, so there won't be a little bit of a positional battle. But I think once Markkanen comes back, then you might see a little bit of a competition between him and Parker for minutes and for guys who feel like that they should be in this lineup. And that might spark something good. You know, maybe you do need a little bit of sense of competition among these position battles. And I know what happened last year. Don't have to remind me between Portis and Mirotic. I get that. But I'm saying still just a little bit of a competition for a guy that they brought in and paid a lot of money for, kind of overshadowed and overlooked what Denzel Valentine did last year. And I'm not saying that he should be like some type of future 2, 3, 4 years down the road, he's still starting at the three, but at least to get a look after what he did last year, I thought is probably a fair argument for Denzel Valentine. But ultimately, I've got Denzel Valentine playing probably 20 to 25 minutes, high and low end there off the bench. And the one other thing that I wanted to get to before we preview the Bucks, Matt, and I wanted to ask you about this, is were you surprised at all that none of the guys that were invited to training camp got any type of run against the Pelicans in their first game on Sunday?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I'm not surprised. People are talking about that 15th roster spot that the Bulls still have open, but this team and this front office in particular in years past have shown us that they usually like to keep that 15th and final spot open for accommodating trades or whatever the case may be. And I think that they're going to do that again this year. That they do still have one of the new two-way contracts available, so they can sign one of these training camp guys to one of those. But I'm guessing, we might see them in some of the tail-end preseason games. But I think first and foremost, Fred wanted to see his real guys and his first unit and his bench unit that are actually going to be in his rotation get some run out there against an actual NBA opponent. Then, when you get to the final few preseason games of the preseason, everybody's sitting and you go play those training camp additions, but it's not like they're needing to get a real hard look at any of those guys to see, all right, who's getting that 15th roster spot or who's getting that second two-way deal. I think they probably already have a pretty good idea who they want that to be or who the final contestants are of the training camp attendees, and they'll probably give them some run at the end just to see. But no, I was not at all surprised to see them not really do anything in their first preseason game.
I think it makes sense, too, because you've got a lot of guys that, frankly, have to learn how to play together in game situations that you haven't had on this roster before. Like, Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine all have to play together alongside Jabari Parker. You want to see what Chandler Hutchison can do for you. Same thing with Wendell Carter Jr., because those are guys that are going to have to step in and be rotation pieces right away. Like, especially with this injury to Markkanen, it makes things a little bit more curious, and especially because you don't have the depth that you like at the wing position, that kind of depletes yourself a little bit, too. So it's an interesting point, though, and maybe I can top this off by, I was curious about the Bulls' cap space next season and just kind of looking into the future a little bit last night, and I realized that the Bulls have about $13 million in trade exception. The majority of that expires at the 1st of February this upcoming season, and that's part of the Nico Mirotić trade last year. So maybe they do keep that roster spot open and they try to take on a contract, an expiring contract, for somewhere around $13 million and be able to use that trade exception. Remember how Bulls fans were always so pissed because the Bulls never used the trade exceptions that they get in some of these deals that they promised in the past? I would hope now the fact that you have Jameer Nelson, Jerian Grant, and Nico Mirotić as all trade exceptions, which add up to about a little bit over $13 million, that the Bulls would actually go out and execute for that. And so maybe there is an argument to be had to keep that roster spot open and maybe and only invite one of these guys to your other two-way contract.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get why the Bulls have always liked having that open roster spot, and they use it to their advantage when they can. I mean, you know, they used it to get a first-round pick, sending Nico away because they had to take on Omer last season. So, like, it's fine to me. Like, and I'm sorry, like, there are a couple of guys that are interesting that they brought in, but like, am I going to be upset if I don't get to watch Jakar Sampson like play some preseason minutes in a Bulls uniform? Hell no. Couldn't care less. You know, I like Rowley Hawkins. I'm excited to see what he's going to do, but am I demanding to see his minutes in the preseason? No, couldn't care less. It's preseason. None of this matters. And the roster is the roster, and the guys that they bring into training camp to add a little bit of competition, I'm not expecting any of them to be a part of this team in a significant way. So, like, it's just to have more warm bodies of practice and then guys to throw out there in the final couple of preseason games when the real players are sitting.
I'm almost there with you on that. I would say just because the games do not matter and the fact that you did invite all these guys to training camp, wouldn't it be at least worth it to give a look to some of these guys, even if it does mean playing the last 8 minutes of a game or the last 10 minutes of a game? But then again, like, there was points made that maybe Fred Hoiberg, especially because the game was somewhat close at the end, and like I said it before, the games don't matter, but maybe Fred wanted those young guys to be in there to experience what it means to close out a game, and yeah, even though it didn't mean necessarily anything, instead of throwing those guys out that you ultimately aren't going to sign to a roster spot, maybe have the younger guys be out there to close out games and learn what it's like to do that and what the situation is.
Yeah, I think you're right on. I think Fred and his staff see that as more important and a more pressing need than, like, giving minutes to Antonius Cleveland, who is, like who cares, right? What this young team needs to do, and this young team lost a lot of close games last season. They need the experience of closing tight games. The additions to the roster, Wendell, Chandler Hutchison, Jabari, they need the experience and the minutes playing together. Like, there are more pressing matters than getting close looks at guys who are fringe guys to make your 15th spot or your second two-way contract. To me, it's a clear cut-and-dry issue right there. Fred knows what's more important, and I think that he's doing the right thing. But again, we will probably see those guys get some run as the preseason progresses, but them getting run right off the bat is nowhere near as important as this young core playing together.
Real quick, how many points is Jabari Parker putting up tonight? His return to Milwaukee for the first time.
Do I have to pretend to
you
care?
Should. You should. He was cold in the first game, 5 for 14.
Yeah, and he looked slow. Did he look slow to you?
A
he looked
little
slow
bit.
To me.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't watched enough of his game as far as like full-on games to understand what his quickness normally is, but maybe that's just part of the preseason, shaking off the rust from preseason. But we'll see. I would imagine that Parker, if he's going to play 25 minutes again like he did on Sunday night, you have to imagine that the field goal attempts are going to be north of 14.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he'll probably be as juiced as you can be for a preseason game going up against his former team. With everybody else kind of maybe taking a backseat to Jabari, like, you know, here's your night. It's a preseason game. The win and the loss doesn't really matter. So if you want to go off and get a bunch of shots up tonight, like, go for it. Let's see what this team looks like when Jabari is the offensively dominant player on the floor, as opposed to, say, Chris Dunn or Zach LaVine. Fine. But, like, I'm not going to feel different or be moved one way or the other, regardless of what Jabari does tonight against his former team in a meaningless preseason game. Don't care. Really, truly,
I don't know if you know this, but he's also going to be paired up against Giannis, too, at least defensively. I would assume that's probably...
So he going to get cooked. Okay. I take it back. I am excited to watch him get cooked by the Greek.
We'll find out. It should be a fun game, at least for a little bit of a story news as far as Jabari going back to Milwaukee. Like I said before, I think we'll see a lot of shots from Jabari tonight. Hopefully a lot of them fall, too. I want to see Zach LaVine build off of the game that he had on Sunday, too. There was two moments that stood out to me that game, and then we'll get to our voicemails here that I just wanted to mention to you really quick. Zach LaVine's ability to cut through three guys and get to the basket and throw down that hammer of a dunk on Sunday was impressive as hell. Like, that
really
to
impressive.
Me looked like everything we saw we thought we were getting from Minnesota pre-ACL injury. And holy shit, if that guy is every bit of the player that we thought, and he is that all season long, I feel bad for the people bashing Zach LaVine for the money that he got in the summer. And hey, it's only one game, I get that, but still, if that's a glimpse into what we're gonna see over the next 4 years, I'm in. I'm in right now. Him on top of Antonio Blakeney.
I'm with you,
too.
Man.
Did you see Antonio Blakeney's dunk cut to the basket?
But hey, and Blakeney was putting up buckets. What did he get? Like 21 off the bench?
21 on 6 of 10 shooting.
Yeah, so a more efficient 21 than Bobby's, which was, what, 21 on 19 shots
in
19 minutes?
Yeah, Bobby had 19 shots, 18 points in 17 minutes.
God bless Bobby Portis. That dude never sees a shot he doesn't like. Blakeney looked good. It was cool to see. I'm curious where he fits into this rotation. And if Denzel misses some extended time, maybe Antonio will get a bigger opportunity. But back to Zach, I'm with you, man. It was really encouraging to see him really take flight multiple times and look like a guy who was a little leaner and a little more similar. Like he looked more like the Zach LaVine pre-ACL tear than at any point what we saw last season, save for maybe one or two games or one or two moments. He looked great. He really did. I think he was working well with a couple of his different teammates. He and Wendell had a couple of nice... little, you know, two-man game moments where Wendell set a couple of good screens and Zach was knocking down shots. I'm still worried about the defense. He did have a nice steal coast-to-coast dunk where he actually, like, read a passing lane and picked off a pass as opposed to just guarding his man one-on-one, which he says is his strength, and the weakness is when he's playing defense off the ball. So, one steal and getting his eyes and his arm in a passing lane does not take away my worries about Zach LaVine defensively this season, but it was nice to see that, and certainly nice to see his athleticism on the offensive end. He did look impressive.
Plus 12 in the plus minus, and also this little nugget for you too. I get it. Like, I keep having to preface this with all that it's preseason, but the Bulls, their offensive rating in their game on Sunday was a 111.4. That's fourth best among preseason teams this year, and 100.6 in defensive rating for a net rating of plus 10.9. So I know that the Pelicans played 15 guys, and a lot of those guys weren't named Anthony Davis or Drew Holiday. But still, I think to build off of that, watch what the Bulls do tonight against a Milwaukee team that only has 4 preseason games. So I would assume that a lot of their starters are at least going to get 25 minutes tonight, maybe if not more. So let's just keep an eye on that. But I thought I was impressed. I was impressed by the ball movement too. Like everybody was eating, and if you can do that night in and night out, this team is going to be the hell of exciting of a watch every single night. And Zach Lowe, I think, even gave the Bulls a little bit of credit in his new column too, putting them on at least in the top 15 of must watch on NBA League Pass this year.
Yeah. Must watch doesn't equal going right to be good. It just me, and I think you and I have said that before, Jordan. We're excited to watch this Bulls season because we think it's going to be entertaining one way or another. They're going to put up a lot of points. And look, what was their point total? Like 128 or whatever?
And they shot 22% from three.
Yeah. So, I was going to say they hit 4 3-pointers. They put up a 128 and only hit 4 from downtown. That's insane. Yes, it's a preseason game, so let's all pump the brakes for a second. But look, the Bulls, and again, like they didn't even have marketing. They're going to put up points. It's just going to be a matter of whether they win a shootout or lose a shootout. And because I think their defense is still, across the board, going to be pretty weak, and they are a young, inexperienced team, that is why my prediction has always been leaning towards losing more than winning. And people say, I can't believe with all these lottery picks and the terrible weak Eastern Conference, you can't even give this team 40 wins? You can't even give these Bulls a 500 record? No, I'm sorry, I can't. Because, yes, they're going to put up points, but they're also going to give up just as many, if not more. And they're young and they're inexperienced. And young, inexperienced teams who can't stop a nosebleed on defense usually don't win above 40 games. That's just the way it is.
72 points in the paint on Sunday for the Bulls, which is crazy considering Julius Randle played 25 minutes. I know Anthony Davis only played 16, but still, you would assume that some of the guys in their front court would be able to stop something and not just be paper bags out there playing defense. But we'll see. I'm more excited to watch the Bucks because they're more of an exciting team to pair this young Bulls team up against.
What's up, guys? This is David. I'm calling from Virginia. Lifetime Bulls fan, been listening to the podcast for several months now. So I just wanted to throw some thoughts out on the Lauri Markkanen injury. So I know a lot of us Bulls fans are kind of depressed and disappointed that, you know, again, another training camp where some freak injury happens and we're not at full health. But just kind of throwing out some positive thoughts, though, big reason why, in a positive sense. But, you know, as a fan, having realistic expectations, we weren't at a point where we were winning really much this year. So, and another thing to be positive with the Lauri Markkanen injury, it isn't a knee or a foot or something that won't fully recover. And another thing, since dealing with the Derrick Rose injury fiascos and him being out multiple seasons, 2 6 to 8 weeks or 2 months, however you look at it, really doesn't seem like that long of a time. So once the season gets going and underway and we maybe get some wins or start piling on the losses, it depends on how, if you're pro tank or somewhere in the middle, but I think he will be back quicker than we think. So, yeah, just throwing out my 2 cents from area code 434. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, well, it's nice of David to call in and check in and try and cheer people's spirits who are bummed about the marketing news. And I think I get where he's coming from, essentially saying, look, this team wasn't going to be a world beater this season anyway. This team wasn't going to be making a playoff run this season anyway, and David might get himself in trouble with some of his fellow fans who do believe that that is a possibility this season, but I'm with David on that one. So it's not like Markkanen being out 6 to 8 weeks is that big of a bummer, because like, what does it matter? The Bulls weren't going to beat any, you know, they weren't winning anything this season anyway. And compared to, say, as he said, like Derrick Rose's injury history, 6 to 8 weeks with an elbow is nothing. I get the logic. It makes sense. That doesn't mean it still doesn't suck. Still doesn't mean you can't be it doesn't mean you can't be disappointed that the Bulls are going to start the season without their most, arguably their most exciting piece. And arguably the piece that most everybody within the walls of that organization believes is a cornerstone of the future. That, like, there's no two ways around that. That just sucks. So thank you, David, for trying to cheer us up. But no, it sucks. And it doesn't matter if the Bulls were projected to be a 15-win team or a 65-win team, when you lose a piece like Markkanen, who everyone's really excited about to start the season, it sucks. But I will say I agree with David in that if Markkanen's absence somehow contributes to the Bulls getting off to a rocky start and say, I mean, I'm not talking 3-20 bad like last season, but say the Bulls are 10 games under 500 through, you know, the duration of Markkanen's absence. And that is possible. Well, let's make that clear right now. That is certainly possible. What happens? I keep going back to this. Say the Bulls are 5-6 games out of the eighth seed in March, when you hit March 1st. Do you double down and buckle down and really try to make that eighth final playoff spot? Or do you look at see who's behind you, a.k.a. who's ahead of you in that tankathon list for the 2019 NBA draft lottery and say, shut it down. Shut everybody down. Shut it down. Pack it in. We're done. Let's get ourselves another lottery pick added to this roster. Because that part of what David said, that's what in this scenario where the Bulls are bad and not really in the playoff hunt, that's what I would like to see happen. And maybe Markkanen losing the first 15-20 games of the season.
Look, I understand it's not end all be all, especially the injuries the Bulls have already incurred to some of their stars in the past. So I understand that logic. But at the same time, too, I saw some other Bulls fans on Twitter and a couple other places just talking about the injury and kind of being nonchalant about it. I don't know if I like that attitude towards this. And it's not to say you blame Markkanen for the injury or anything from practice. If this thing happens, you have to account for injuries. And we said that going in the last couple of months. It's like you're hoping and barring everybody stays healthy, this is the way we can look at the team. And now Markkanen being out 2 months, you got to look at this team in a little bit of a different light. But at the same time, you can't be nonchalant about this. This should be a worry because he is supposed to be one of your cornerstones of this team and of this future. I think 97.5% of this fan base believes Markkanen can be that guy. There's about a 2.5% of the fan base that still doesn't believe in him. And I think that also correlates with the fact that they wish they never traded Jimmy Butler. But that's nor here nor there. The fact is that Markkanen, like you had said, and going back to our conversation at the beginning of the episode, it's going to take him longer than just a month to reacclimate himself to this team. You know, just because he missed that month of the season doesn't mean he's going to come back and light the world on fire. Let's take for an example the time that he missed back in February when he had his newborn child. I think he missed, what, about a week and a half, 2 weeks, handful of games. He came back and wasn't very good for another handful of games, about a week and a half, 2 weeks, 3 weeks even. He wasn't the same self, and maybe that's partly to hitting the rookie wall, but still, coming back from an injury, it takes a while to reacclimate yourself to basketball life, to get yourself back into game mode, and it might take Markkanen a little bit more time than maybe we anticipate when he does come back. But like I was telling the listeners there yesterday when we were kind of going through the first 20 games of the schedule, Matt, I only see 7 wins, and that's probably 7 wins for sure, like 90% sure. There's a few coin toss games in there, but you're playing 10 out of the first 20 games. You're playing playoff teams from last year. You're also playing a Denver Nuggets team who won 46 games last year and only got better this season. And then you're playing a Detroit Pistons team who is looking to make the playoffs with Blake Griffin and a few other pieces that won 39 games last year. You're playing them twice. So it's a tough schedule for the Bulls in the first 20 games and what you imagine Markkanen will miss. So I don't like the outlook of nonchalant towards the injury because it is a concern and we should be concerned about it and monitor that closely. But at the same time, yes, it is only 20 games and thank God he didn't get hurt even worse or it wasn't a surgery. But I think it should be a concern. It should definitely be a concern of Bulls fans.
Yeah, of course. Of course it should be. All right, thanks for checking in, David. Let's take one more before we get out of here. This voicemail comes to us from Casey in the 219.
What's up, guys? It's Casey from the 219. Just wanted to touch base on this Lauri fiasco. First off, want to thank you guys for everything you do and providing this platform, this community, and this free content. I really appreciate it. But secondly, I want to talk about Lauri. How did this happen? I just want answers. How did this happen? Who did it? If it involved Bobby, would that change your opinion on anything? And I'm only saying that, I know it's unfair to Bobby and it's unsubstantiated, but I just get flashbacks to that Wizards game when he took out that dude with his knee, just smashed his face in, and then took out freaking Satoransky, just took him out with his freaking arm. So I'm just thinking, things tend to happen around Bobby, and I just want to know if you guys have any opinion if it involved Bobby. Thanks for your thoughts.
This is how bad rumors start, man. Let's not put this out into the atmosphere, and I would assume that if any player was involved, we would have heard by now, like we did back with Nico.
Yeah, I mean, dude, rumors start in crazy, crazy, stupid, irresponsible ways. Somebody on Twitter was coming at me, I don't know, a few days ago, a week ago, when I was talking about Lowry as the most recent, you know, training camp injury and mentioned Taj friendly fire on Derrick Rose. Somebody said, like, I'm pretty sure that they used Taj as an excuse and a cover-up, and I'm pretty sure that Jimmy punched Derrick in practice. I was like, what? Where are you getting that? There's no way that that is true. Just because that this very rare, awful, terrible instance happened between Nico and Bobby last year, you're just going to assume the same thing happened between Jimmy and Derek a few years ago and the team covered it up? Get out of here with that nonsense. Like, that's just irresponsible to start talking like that. But what I will say for Casey is this. He does have a point in mentioning that Bobby is a very physical player who is, you know, volume knobs at 11 every single second he's on the court, and he has had some instances in the past where he and his aggressive style of play have led to some physical altercations, not fisticuffs, but hard fouls and things of that nature on the court. And look, to me, it's all like, really? We're going to call out Bobby for being a dirty player or a guy who, you know, gives hard fouls, when nothing in today's NBA should be considered a hard foul if you watch the NBA of the 80s and 90s. And to all of the children out there listening, I strongly encourage you to do so. The NBA today is soft as hell. Has been for a while now. So no, I don't think Bobby deserves to have this tag of being a guy who's reckless on the floor. The dude plays hard, and you appreciate dudes that play hard. So no, not only is the rumor of, well, Bobby was probably involved, right? Because Bobby punched Nico last season. That's irresponsible. And I see what Casey is saying because I know a couple of the instances he's referring to when it comes to Bobby accidentally maybe inflicting some harm on other players when the Bulls are playing on the court in real time, in real games. But no, let's not label him with that either. The dude just plays hard. And it is, you know, it's not football, it's not rugby. But it is a physical sport, and guess what? People are going to get hurt, and people are going to, you know, bang elbows, and people are going to bang knees, and people are going to do all sorts of things when they are, say, fighting for rebounds, just like Markkanen was in practice. So let's put an end to that.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. You can follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure you're following the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. Our text and voicemail line, you want to jump into the conversation, 331-979-1369. All your text and voicemails there. We'd love to hear from you, so drop us a voicemail or text message. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful night. Enjoy the Bulls and Bucks preseason game tonight. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com